let me ask you to join me in John chapter 21. John chapter 21 this morning. I know probably not all of you are on social media, but you're probably all aware of things like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and those. And I love Facebook. One of my favorite features of Facebook is they call it memories. And I have been on Facebook, I think, almost 10 years now. And so what's kind of cool is as a date comes, it tells you or shows you everything that you may have posted for the last 10 years on Facebook. And so Christmas Day came around, and we got to see these wonderful pictures of our little kids, our big grown-up kids when they were little. Look at Troy, was so excited to get that telescope. Did we ever use that thing? Okay. And then that's another one that popped up with Troy and Trev and Trinity. And then I saw this one and sent it to Trinity. And I'm like, look how cute you used to be. And she said, look how much hair you used to have. And I was like, well, thank you so very much. And so memories are so fun because some of the things that pop up as I look at them, I honestly have completely forgotten they ever took place. And it's not just from years gone by. It was a couple of years ago. I think it was our last year living in Indiana. Jamie had put a glass jar on the piano with a bunch of little colored slips. And she said, every time something fun or memorable happens, write it down, and we put it in the jar. And so all throughout the year, and Trinity did most of the writing, but all throughout the year, we would write down fun memories, fun things that happened. And on New Year's Eve, we dumped them all out and kind of just read through it. And you're like, I forgot about it. Oh, that was so much fun. And what was exciting was just rehearsing what had taken place in the past, especially because I had forgotten so much. And today, as we look forward to a new year, I guess the question is, we know how difficult 2020 has been for so many people. Do we just put 2020 in the rearview mirror and forget about it? Or what do? Just turn our full attention to 2021? And so today, I want to talk about looking at the past in order to see the future. Or otherwise, we could say looking through the past to the future. And I say this because, you know, there's something very powerful about rehearsing the past. Over and over, God continued to point his people backwards as he was trying to get them to move forwards. He was constantly pointing his people to his faithfulness in the past as a way to provide hope for whatever they were facing in the future. I think I read 17 times God specifically pointed to one miracle when he parted the Red Sea. 17 times throughout Scripture, he points back to that one miracle. Not because that miracle was important, but because that miracle basically said that no matter what impossible situation you find yourself in the present or you think is awaiting you in the future, just look back and see what I did when you were really between a rock and a hard place. I split the water for my people. I could do the same thing for you. And so as we come to the close of a difficult and even discouraging year, I think it's important for us to look back. But if I can encourage you to look back beyond 2020. Don't just look back at this year, but look far beyond so that we can remind our hearts of the many times that God has displayed and demonstrated himself to be faithful through the years, through the decades, and in most ways that we've forgotten all about how faithful God has been to us. I know this past year has been difficult for many, and I would never want to make light of it, but how many families, how many school teachers, how many students, they pretty much feel like they've lost a school year. You know, this year's seniors haven't started on their sports or on their social activities, and last year's seniors, they had to graduate through a television screen. And I know that can be difficult for some, but if I can encourage you, look back beyond 2020, and you'll see far more than just what was taken away. If we can look beyond 2020, we would be able to remind our hearts of those 2020 and 2021 graduates being born, taking their first steps, that first day of school, all the birthday celebrations, their first t-ball or soccer or basketball games. And I know as we would rehearse, we would eventually be at 2020 and the difficult times of this year, but it would only be after we have filled albums and albums and albums of wonderful, joyful, happy memories, all given to us by God to remind us, hey, look back. I have been with you every step of the way, and I am the same God who will be with you every step of the way. If we were to look back at 2020, many families have been affected by COVID. Some having lost a loved one, others being isolated or separated from loved ones. Some losing jobs, some gatherings and holidays that didn't take place, vacations that had to be postponed, and special moments that honestly will never have a chance to regain. And yet in spite of the separation and isolation of 2020, if you look back beyond this, we can celebrate the Christmas parties and the Thanksgiving dinners and all of the vacations and long road trips in a car that sounded so good before you actually loaded everybody up and started driving. But all those moments that create special bonds and memories as we look back, which gives us great hope for the future. Every one of those moments was given to us as a gift from God and meant to remind our hearts that the God who has walked through every past moment of our lives will be with us through every future moment of our lives. And God wants us to know that because of his faithfulness through past generations, we can look forward with an excitement this year, with joy and with an anticipation for what awaits us. You say, man, Pastor, how could you look forward after what we had? Listen, I can look forward to 2021 because when I turn around and I see 45 years of God's faithfulness in my life, I am so excited because of the many times God has worked in ways I was never expecting. Even during this Christmas time, as I'm driving around, I'll come around a curve and I'll see the beauty of the mountains in front of us, and I'll just think, God, what were you thinking when you brought our family to Luray? Or I remember the beautiful picturesque the leaves as they were turning in the fall, and how many times I would turn onto our road, Valleyburg, and we would start going towards our home, and you come over a little hill, and it's just whoosh, this beautiful, picturesque landscape. And I just think, God, I never would have pictured myself here. But I am so thankful, and I am so grateful that God is the one that has walked with me through the past to lead me to where I am. And I can take great confidence that as he has walked with me in the past, he will walk with me in the future, and I can be excited about my future because I have experienced God's faithfulness in my past. And I believe this is so important because if we don't recognize and remember God's work in the past, we can miss what God is trying to do today. We have to remember the ways God has worked. We might miss the way God is working. And it's exactly what we find in John chapter number 21. I purposely chose a portion of scripture that would be centered around the person of Jesus because I wanted to close the year pointing our eyes to Jesus because he has been our provision and he will continue to be our eternal hope. So I want to set the stage for John 21 because many of you may not know what we're looking at, but Jesus has already been crucified, buried, resurrected, and he has talked to his disciples two times. The last time he talked to them, he said, just wait till I get back. And while they're waiting, the apostle Peter says, let's go fishing. It's something he was used to doing, and so they head out to the Sea of Galilee, and there's a couple of fishermen out on the shore, out on the sea all night long, and after an entire evening of fishing, their nets are completely empty. That's what we're going to pick up on in verse number 4 of John chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says this: just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." So that's not only are they embarrassed that they don't have fish, but they actually have to tell someone, "We have nothing." Verse 6, he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And that disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's the Apostle John who is the writer, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now I'm going to stop there in verse 7 because we have to get the truth that is being revealed right here. The disciples have been working all night long, caught nothing. A man on the shore speaks to them. They don't know who the man is. Most likely Jesus in his glorified body, or because of his glorification, may not be able to be recognizable. And so they see Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. He speaks to them. They don't recognize his voice, but they obey. They drop the nets. And when they pull the nets up full of fish, John immediately says, "That man standing over there, that's Jesus." How would he know that? He didn't recognize him. He didn't recognize his voice. But because his nets are filled with fish, he says, "I know who that is. That's the Lord." How did they know? I think it's easy. Because that exact scenario has happened to them before. We'd find it in 3 of the Gospels. The disciples were out all night fishing, caught nothing. Jesus said, "Go out again and drop your net." And when they did, their nets were so full, they began to break. And although that had happened years before, this new miraculous work of grace in their lives immediately led their hearts to see, that's the Lord at work in my life again. And over the next few verses, we'll see the disciples bring their haul of fish in, and then they sit down and they eat a breakfast with Jesus. They are done with their work, but Jesus is just starting his. And with the flame and smoke of the fire in the air, Jesus turns to Peter. Now, the last time Peter was around a fire, he was not sitting having a nice little dinner with Jesus. The last time Peter was around a fire, he was denying he ever knew Jesus. And so Jesus looks at Peter and says, "I have a question for you." He asks it in verse number 15. In John 21, verse 15, the Bible says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Verse 17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." In these verses, Jesus asks Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" 3 times. The same number of times that Peter had in the past denied Jesus. And by the third question, Peter is grieved that Jesus keeps asking him the same question when he keeps giving him the same answer. But if you were to keep reading, Jesus begins to predict Peter's death. He basically tells Peter, "You're going to die one day by crucifixion," in so many words. And then he says, "But Peter, follow me," at the end of verse 19. To which, when Peter hears Jesus say, "Follow me," and he knowing what awaits him, he He notices John, and he turns to John, and he points to John, and he says this in verse number 21. Would you look at verse number 21, Peter? It says, when Peter saw him, that's of John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And Jesus basically says to Peter, it shouldn't matter what I have planned for anyone else. All that matters is what I have planned for you. You, Peter, follow me. And as much as I would love to spend hours in this passage, what I really want to emphasize is how the disciples recognized the work of Jesus in the present because they had experienced the work of Jesus in the past. And that's why John said it is the Lord. And I want us to be able to recognize that Jesus is at work in our lives right now. And most likely in the same way he has worked in our lives in the past. Have you struggled financially this year? Have you struggled financially before? How did Jesus care for that? I know some have gone through illness now, and as we look back, we have gone through illness before. I know some are grieving the loss of a loved one, and yet Jesus continuously has walked with us through the darkest and most difficult moments of our life, and he is going to do the same thing right now in your life. He has worked in the past. We can't forget because he is working right now. But I also want to emphasize how Jesus, he was not interested in pointing out the past failures of Peter, but rather Jesus directed the heart of Peter to a new and a future work by saying, Peter, feed my sheep. And I want all of us to recognize that our past is not what's keeping us from doing great things for God. Our defeated spirit about our past, it was what keeps us from doing great things for God. As one author said, Satan uses your past to define your future. Satan gets you to look at your past and says, you see how you failed? You are a failure. You see what you have failed? You see how you have failed God before? You will fail God in the future. You don't even need to try because look at what has happened when you have tried before. Satan wants to use our past to define our future, but God wants to use our past to refine our future. As we look to our past and see our failures, we also can see our need for Jesus. Oh God, I have failed you in the past. I need you so much now. And Jesus is trying to work in the life of Peter to say, I know what your past is, but I'm not going to ignore it. Three times, I'm not going to ignore it. But Peter, I have a new calling for you. So I just want to remind ourselves of three short thoughts this morning. First is the abundance of Jesus. The abundance of Jesus. And I want you to take heart. My emptiness, our emptiness, provides a platform for God's abundance to be displayed. Think about Peter. He was a fisherman who couldn't catch a fish. He was a disciple who forsook his teacher, and he was a leader who failed to lead. And yet, it was in Peter's brokenness and emptiness where the grace of Jesus was most clearly seen in his life. Think about the empty nets that we just read. These guys were professionals. They know how to catch fish. How can they spend all night long with big nets and not even catch one fish? That's got to be nearly impossible. Like for me, it would not be impossible. I could probably spend days fishing and not come back with anything. These guys did it for a living. So why didn't they catch any fish? I think the answer is simple. Because God didn't want them to catch any fish. You see, those nets had to be empty so there would be room for God to fill them in a great demonstration of his power and of his sovereignty. Think about it. Peter had to fail for God's abundance to be clearly seen. But that's not what anybody on the boat was thinking. There was not one guy on the boat as they fished all night, dropped the nets, caught, pulled it up, nothing. Move, drop the nets, pick it up, nothing. There's not one guy on the boat that was saying, you know what, guys? This is getting really exciting. You know why? Because, hey, our emptiness, it's going to give God an opportunity to really display his glory. Just wait. Like, there wasn't one person on the boat thinking that. Everybody was tired, they were frustrated, they were weary and unhappy and irritated and ready to be done at all because they had empty nets. But in their emptiness is when Jesus stepped in and said, try right there. And as they did, their nets were completely full. It was in their emptiness that Jesus brought his fulfillment. How many of us are ending 2020 with this attitude? That year was so crazy. I can't wait for 2021 because 2020 was so bad. There was nothing good that took place. It was empty. How many of us are thinking that? I think a lot, but I wonder if God would rather us look towards 21 and say this. 2020 was so empty. It was so bad. Oh man, I felt so empty. But all that does is leave plenty of room for God to work miraculously in my life, to fill me to overflowing. Like, don't you think God wants his people looking to a new year and saying, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see how God is going to use what just took place this year, how he is going to be used to show us his abundance. God, come on, fill my empty nets. Isn't that what faith is? Like, it's the evidence of something I cannot see, but I know it's coming because of who promised it. And it's without faith, as Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Hey, Jesus wants us as his believers to walk confidently into a new year to say, I cannot wait to see how you are going to fill the emptiness of my life. My emptiness provides a platform for God's abundance to be displayed. But not only that, we see the restoration of Jesus. My brokenness provides a canvas for God's restoration to be displayed. Go back to when Jesus asks Peter, do you love me more than these? And if you've studied that out, you know there's not 100% clarity on what Jesus said when he said, what Jesus meant when he said, do you love me more than these? Some people think it may have to do with the fish and the boat and the nets and all his old life, but most scholars would say that Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, do you love me more than these disciples love me? Which is the strangest question from Jesus until we realize what Jesus was trying to do. He was trying to drill down and reveal Peter's brokenness so that Peter would allow Jesus to restore him. You see, it was at the Last Supper when Jesus said, hey, all of you are going to leave me. And Peter stands up and he's like, I'm never going to do that. And Jesus said, actually, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. And Peter stands up and says, never. I don't know about all of these guys, but I do know this. I'll die before I deny you. That's the last time Peter was talking about these. None of these that we know of deny Jesus. And so now Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he's exposing Peter to himself. Hey, Peter, this is what you said. Peter, this is what you did. Do you see how they don't match up? You know something that has happened to Christians this year? 2020 has exposed how much we truly love Jesus. And that's exactly what needs to be exposed. You know, if Jesus were to say, hey, do you love me? You know, he's not waiting for a verbal answer. Remember, Jesus already knows everything about us. If Jesus were to come to you and say, do you love me? He's waiting for you to come up with the answer that you would come up with. And you know how most of us would answer that? If Jesus were to say, do you love me? We say, of course, Jesus, I love you. I go to church every week. You know what? In 2020, and it didn't happen. My child, do you love me? Of course I love you. I get all dressed up for church. Except for those of you online who are watching in your pajamas and drinking your coffee and enjoying a nice little brunch. Do you love me, my child? You know I love you, Jesus. I taught a Sunday school class, or I led a small group, or I was a greeter, or I drove a van, or and we can name anything we want to. And you know what 2020 has done? It has stripped all that away. There is no activity we can point to say, Jesus, says, look what I'm doing. That shows I love you. What he wants us to see is, do I want to follow Jesus anywhere for any reason? When Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? He already knows Peter's past. He denied him 3 times. He ran away. He hid in fear. And if there's ever a time where Jesus were to say, Peter, what are you talking about? You say, I say, do you love me? And you said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And you know what I know about you, Peter? Is you denied me 3 times and you ran away from me. You weren't at the cross. You weren't at the tomb. You didn't even believe the women when they came and said I was alive. Peter, how can you say you love me? But we don't. We don't hear that from Jesus. It is so amazing. He doesn't point to the past to reveal Peter's brokenness to reject him. He points to the past so that Peter can be exposed to his brokenness, so that he'll allow Jesus to restore him. Because it's only when we recognize our brokenness where we allow Jesus to begin to restore us. And how does he restore us? With his calling. It's the calling of Jesus. See, my surrender provides an opportunity for God's glory to be displayed. Jesus looked at Peter, and this is what he said. Peter, follow me. Feed my sheep. I found this so interesting. Remember I told you that before Jesus had filled empty nets? You know what Jesus said to his disciples after he filled their empty nets the first time? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now he fills their nets and says, follow me so you can shepherd my sheep. That first calling, I think, for Peter would have been very easy. He was a fisherman. He knew exactly what he was doing. But now Jesus is giving him a new call. And he says, follow me. And what does follow me mean? It means Peter had to keep his eyes on Jesus. But you remember what Peter did as soon as Jesus said, follow me? He pointed at John and said, well, what about him? And it is so easy for us, as we know Jesus calls us to follow him, it is so easy for us to look around and say, wow, what about them? Or they're not doing as much as I am. I'm doing more than them. Hey, listen, as we enter 2021, can I encourage you? Who cares what anybody else is doing? Are you following Jesus? Because whenever we look at how others are following God, take our eyes off of Jesus. Our eyes must stay on him. Why follow Jesus? Why? We'll just turn around and take a look at how faithful he has been. But my favorite didn't win the election this year. Has your party ever lost an election before in the past? How are we doing? Are we okay? Yeah, but there's persecution of the church awaiting us. And that's not going to be new either. There's nothing that we're going to face this year that, one, God is not aware of, and two, that he's not already there. So he's just saying, follow me and keep your eyes on me. But he also says, feed my sheep. And what I love about when he says, feed my sheep, is Peter doesn't get to decide how or who to help. He says, feed my sheep. And what I find so interesting is Jesus never tells Peter to love the sheep. The motivation for Peter is not that Peter loves the sheep, but that Peter loves Jesus and Jesus loves his sheep. So he chooses the shepherd. I read that this week and or studying that this week and I was like, wow. Like, I don't know what 2021 has in store for me, for my family, for you, for your family, for this church as a whole, but all that really matters is, do we love Jesus? Because if we love Jesus, then it doesn't matter what I do, and it doesn't matter who I help, and it doesn't matter where I go. None of that matters because I am simply following Christ. And if my motivation is loving Jesus, then what I do and who I help is completely in his hand. But one last thought. Some people say, I know Jesus is talking to me, but I'm broken. How can he use me? When I think of that, I think of a short little fairy tale that I heard years ago that I've never forgotten. A man living at the top of a hill has two pots, and he puts his two pots on a stick, and he walks down every day to the well in the morning, and he fills up both pots, and he walks back up to his day, but he walks back up to his house and uses the water for the day, but there's one pot that's broken. And this pot, it's a fairy tale, so this pot's talking. And this pot one day looks at the farmer, and he says, sir, would you just fix me? Because every day you fill me with water, and by the time we get back up to the top of the hill to our house, I'm almost completely out of water. You use the other pot to do everything around the house. I could be of so much more use to you if you would just fix my brokenness. And the little farmer looked at the pot and he said, little pot, have you ever looked down at the ground while we take our walk back up to the hill after I fill you? He said, no. He said, tomorrow morning, when I fill you with water, we're going to look down at the ground. So this farmer, he puts on the stick and he has the two pots and he goes down, he fills them both. And as he starts walking up, he says, little pot, look down at the ground. And this little pot that already started to drip water out at the crack, he noticed that all along one side of this pathway to the house were beautiful flowers. And the farmer looked at the pot and he said, listen, I want you to understand something, little pot. Every day I fill you up, and as we walk back up to the top of the hill, you do leak your water, but you leak it all over this beautiful path of flowers. And every day my kids come down and they love to smell the flowers, and my son will pick the flowers and bring it to my wife, and my wife will gather flowers and make beautiful centerpieces for our table. And if you just sit back and look at the beauty along the path, all because I won't fix what's broken about you. Little pot, if I fixed what you ask, there would be far less beauty in and around our home. So if you will, I would like to keep you just the way you are. You know, your brokenness may be used to bring beauty to someone else. I don't know who made this quote, and I came across it this week while studying. I don't know who to credit, but sometimes God redeems your story by surrounding you with people who need to hear your past so it doesn't become their future. Oh. Can you grasp that? Can you understand that truth? God is not wanting us to look back to see our failures of our past. God is not wanting us to ignore our past, though, but rather to use our past to refine our future, and very well could be the future of those around us. So as 2021 approaches, may I encourage you, embrace your emptiness. It provides a platform for God's abundance to be displayed. Embrace your brokenness. It provides a canvas for God's restoration to be shown, and fully surrender to follow Jesus however he calls you, knowing it will provide an opportunity for God's glory to be displayed both in you and through you. So may we all, as 2021 starts, simply say, Jesus, I will follow you show me your sheep. I'll feed them. However he asks. Would you pray with me? Father, I am so grateful for this portion of Scripture. As we look back and we see a man that failed in Peter, and yet we also see the beauty of the work that you did in Peter to try to prepare him to become a strong and a bold and truly a world-changing disciple. And Lord, I know that you can do the same thing in this church and in the lives of those who are here and those who are watching. Lord, you don't want us to just simply ignore the past, but you want us to use our past as we approach the future. Allow us to see our failures so that we can rejoice and invite your restoration. Church family, we're just going to spend a few moments. I'm just going to ask you while the music plays, if you would just simply take a few moments, and I would love for you to ask yourself two questions. First, what is it that you think is keeping you from following Jesus? And I know we have these thoughts like, he would never want to use me. I've said so many times I never would, but I keep doing. I've tried to follow him before and I keep failing. I can't even tell you how many years I said I'm going to read my Bible this year and I don't. God doesn't want us to quit. Our past can be used to refine our future. May I ask you, would you simply ask the Lord right now, God, whatever you want, would you just show it to me? I'll follow you. Whatever it is, Lord, if it's something you've asked me to do again in the past that I failed, if you want me to try again this year, I will. I will follow you. And then would you say, Lord, who is the sheep? Who are the sheep that you have for me this year? He said, follow me and feed my sheep. Jesus isn't asking you to love everyone around you. He's asking you to love him. And if you love him and follow him, he will bring people to you to point to Christ. Would you pray that God uses you next year to point people to his goodness and to his glory? And I know you failed, and I have failed, and we have all failed to do this rightly. But we're walking with him, and he will empower us and provide what we need if we'll just follow and feed his sheep. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's really hard to look back and see the way that Jesus has worked in your past. But if you were to pause and look back, you would see that as a sinner, Jesus died for your sins. Because he loved you so much. He knew all about your failures, but he still loved you so much, he died for you. He took your sins upon himself so that you could have his perfection and his righteousness, and you could have his relationship with the Father. And it's not about living a good life. It's about trusting his life, knowing you have failed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, may I encourage you, call out to him and say, God, I cannot do this on my own. I have to have you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I trust you as my only hope for heaven. And place your trust in what Jesus has done for you, not in what you can do. And when you do that, we get up and we follow him and we feed his sheep. Father, help us to become the disciple-making church you desire us to be this year. May we follow and may we feed your sheep, whoever you bring us, however you do, wherever you do. We just want to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen.